earlier.
Okay.
Share screen. We are live, Mr. Joe.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody.
Yeah. You tell everybody how great they are while I get this other stuff.
Well, a couple of things. Interestingly, a U.S. pension fund invested in Bitcoin for the first time, facilitated by NYDIG. So, you know, that's another further validator of what's happening institutional-wise. Transaction volume of Bitcoins, 7 times April's all-time high in transactions, not price, which is mainly institutional buyers. All of the news is about institutionals coming in on there. And then I also like that DraftKings is setting up a node, a validator node on Polygon, you know, for their NFTs. So that's going to be good, because one of the things on OpenSea, there's a, you know, an arbing differential between layer one and layer two. And a lot of newbies coming in don't understand about layer two. And so this will bring a lot of kind of people coming in to buy NFTs with credit cards to get access to more cost efficient, Polygon transactions with those NFTs.
Right.
Which is interesting. So,
by the way, do you see that Ethereum passed JP Morgan in market cap today?
I saw that there was, no, I didn't see that. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
I saw something interesting about, one of these guys, I think it was a JP Morgan analyst, actually. I might've forwarded that link to you.
I've got it loaded up on screen. This one.
Yeah. Perfect timing. That this was really, a lot of this is people going from gold ETFs into BTC related instruments. And it's been going on for a couple of months. It's heavy institutional, but this tells me, okay, so if I'm a wealth management guy and I'm talking to my clients and I'm saying, hey, you should be laying, you know, like 50 bips into crypto related stuff, you know, and if they they balk at that, you know, because of their heavy equities and bond positions, then it's like, well, hey, let's just take a little off the gold and put it over here in another alt category. Then they kind of go, huh, okay, that makes sense. So that's an interesting thing to me, that shows that there is that. And we know that, what's the gold space, like $10 trillion market cap, I believe. So I was looking at that. And then I also clicked on, you'll see down later in that article, you'll see the JP Morgan analyst talking about it. I think he's quoted in there somewhere. But then I started looking at, well, okay, if gold is that, what's silver? And silver looks to be like about 1.3 trillion. So there's an issue with silver, though. A lot's used in industrial manufacturing, so there's not an exact number as the supply.
Right.
But they suspect it's lower than what's published. So, you know, I mean, BTC should be pretty close to taking out, you know, passing silver in market cap.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. JP Morgan shifting away from gold as inflationary hedge to Bitcoin.
Yep. So everything we talk about inflation, the people at the top, you know, there's inflation buried in different aspects of the economy that don't get measured. We talk about, you can't just print up $10 trillion. You know, if you're a corporation with 10 million shares and you print up 10 million more shares, what happens?
Right.
You know, the price of the shares gets cut in half. So since we're the master peg at the top of everything, U.S. dollar, we don't really feel it.
Yep.
But underlying, it's happening. So,
well, know, and this can be the catalyst for the depeg of Bitcoin from the stock market. And, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of potential here.
Yeah. And then the other thing I've been tracking on is, you know, the Sotheby's metaverse project for NFTs. It's raised a lot of money. I think they've pulled in about 100 million so far. They're doing a lot of one-ones and auctions, kind of that part of the market that's so, what's the right word? I guess subjective. Do you like it or not? And but that again shows me, you know, they have a curated platform. I was kind of thinking about the Doki guys again when I look at this, and because they're curating a platform, but they're curating around sort of equal access to one ones and, you know, 250s out of 250s, where everyone has an even chance to get, or the same chance as everybody else to get the higher end ones.
Right.
And, you know, so kind of like art auctions for the masses or for the people. I'm curious to see it would be kind of interesting to see an angle there with a gachapon machine, to where, you know, again, it's a machine with 10 pranksies in it, 10 one ones. Right. And, you know, people bid for one of those 10 slots to go. And, you know, so all of a sudden you get a frenzy at the front end of what the bid or the lever pull price should be based upon what the average 1-1 pranksy's worth. It just creates a whole nother interesting dynamic.
Yep.
Where, you know, you can almost, it's like almost like you're levering your random number generator piece, just in the way where you stake and then stake out, add liquidity and stake out LP tokens, and you can stake LP tokens again. You know, this seems like another interesting way to get at that top tier.
Absolutely.
Appraisals, valuations, et cetera. But good movement for the space regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's see. So any other news you want to cover?
I think that was, I sent a couple of links to you. Those are the ones that I had up. You know, what I did notice, would you have some stories to cover?
No, I'm good for news. Okay.
Is I noticed a lot of new pools on QuickSwap, Polygon QuickSwap. And a lot of stuff just released this morning, you know, in the million plus APYs. You know, some early, there's like four or five in there, early stage stuff. But, you know, look, if you got some of it, pair it up and get some yield. If you don't have any of it, and it looks interesting, you know, go for it. Like, you know, we talk a lot about PBR. I bought some of that today just because I'm like, you know, everything they're saying fits in that thesis of in between the layer ones, in between the protocols, you know, as those are the real kind of value capture areas.
Right. That's
sort of the way I'm looking at it now. Well, PBR fits that, you know.
That open.
And I have no Polkadot exposure at all right now. And so I need to figure out what they're doing. I've run into a couple of things over there that make sense. This looks like one of them, you know, plus I think I've, you know, one of these pools either on Define or here has like 1000% APY. So if I see like, hey, this is interesting, and I see an APY like that, then it's a no-brainer to me.
Hell yeah.
Because, you know, if you're off, you're off. But if you're off a little bit, you're still up.
Yeah.
Because of the reward. So good place to look. Also, tomorrow's rollover day on Define. So if you're looking at things like Uni, Luna, AVAX, Curve, things like that, you know, that's a time to either deploy some existing of whatever into a pool with Define and get that yield. And I think East Coast time, I think it goes down at 9 a.m. I'm going to start looking around 8 a.m. Just to make sure. But that's where you jump in for a day or so until those yields go down. And then you either hold the Define that you get, or you, you know, flip it for the token that you're trying to acquire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and though the ecosystem ones are not lockups, popular ones are, but still I'll jump in those too, just for the day, because you could pull the principal out. It's right. Just the token rewards are staked for the end of that period. So keep an eye on that tomorrow. What else did I do? I told you I got the Atom the other day. You know, been putting more Geist up just because, you know, I kind of figured something out of their platform where, you know, you stake it in the Geist. This is on Phantom. You stake in the Geist Phantom pool, and then you stake those up, and that's on Spooky Swap. Then you stake those LP tokens back on the Geist platform where you're earning 2000% APY. Well, when you come out of that, those rewards vest. All right. So, you know, for 90 days.
Right.
It's locked up. So, but you can pull it down early at a 50% penalty. So
Okay. Let's
just say you're sitting there with 100 that you just vested out of a reward pool. So if you wait 90 days, then you're going to have 100. I mean, not more, not less. You're going to have 100. But if you take it out now and just take out your 50 Geist and let the other 50 burn, and then you throw that into the locked up vault where you lock it up for 90 days anyhow, you get 2,000% there versus no percent. So I've calculated that that's about 450 to 500% return for a quarter for 3 months. So, you know, you're going to end up with 250 to 300 Geist in that pool versus just holding it in the vesting one and only having 100. Right. So, you know, again, there's that looks like an interesting little opportunity to me. Now, the only caveat is once it's locked. You cannot get it for 90 days.
Right.
So, you know, but I look at Geist having enough runway because of their, you know, 2.5B and or 3.2B and total value lock. And the Ave looking feel and touch and feel to it, that this runs to me more than 90 days. So I'm not worried about the locks.
Good.
I look at this as something longer, but you know, so that's 2000% and then 2000%.
Okay.
So, you know, look at that one. And I haven't gotten into Wonderland, although I did get the Avalanche set up on my wallet. So I'm starting to dig in. I did flip the spell just because it was up 120% for Abracadabra. And, you know, I looked and I realized there was like, I don't know, 30 trillion tokens authorized or some absurd number. And I'm like, I'll take the double, move on.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's kind of what I've been doing. How about you?
All right. So last night we got Corey in the green room. I like saying
all
that.
All right.
Corey Cottrell's in the green room. But first, real quick, I'm going to make him wait a couple of more minutes. So last night, there's this guy called the Calculator Guy on YouTube. He's awesome because I was researching how the WS Ohm stuff works, right? And he builds all these calculators to help you how to figure out how Ohm works and other projects work and the math on it. He has all these cool Google Docs calculators and spreadsheets that you can use to predict what you're going to make with your Ohm staking and other projects. And he had this video that he had just put up a couple hours before called Stupid High Risk Play Smart Coin. And he says in the video that, in fact, the guys who launched this project actually call it a Ponzi scheme. Like, they are completely upfront about the fact that this is going to run out. But the reason he decided to go in was because, I mean, let's come over here. Let's look at the current APR. Look at this fucking APR. The APR doubles. I think the way he says it works is the APR doubles every time the price doubles. So the more people pile in, the APR goes double, right? So 12,834%. You just have to be fast enough to get the fuck in and the fuck out before the whole thing collapses on itself. And the guys who bought in 3 days ago dump everything. But it's killing me. It's cracking me the hell up because I just, what it's interesting is they supposedly have an audit and they have rug doc clearance. So they were KYC'd privately, but they're blatantly calling this thing a Ponzi. I mean, yeah. 12, what is that APY on 12,829% APR?
It's going to be approaching infinity for all practical purposes. You know,
so
it's funny,
would you ape in on this, Joe?
Got to look at it. I mean, I look at that kind of stuff like you call, I call it legal Ponzonomics or whatever. And I mean, it must be, it's going right.
So yeah.
It's like, but you know, you could tell there's not going to be any, there's not enough seats left at the end of the day for everyone. So much to my like chagrin, these things exist just like Doge and all those other ones that really kind of, you know, they're not structured this way, but there's, you know, people are essentially betting.
You got to appreciate direction. That they're upfront about it though.
Yeah.
You know, but,
you know, so hey, no intent then at that point, right? Cause there's no intention to.
Yeah, exactly. It. Hey, you're going to get screwed if you get out of here too late is basically what they're saying. They did have this like huge wick and then this dump here yesterday. So, and people are still piling in. It's
what's
crazy.
That what's that candle? Like the daily candle or 4 hours?
Yeah, it's daily.
Yeah. See, to me, I see that and I'm like, too late for me. Back that up. You brought that to us a week ago. Maybe we could have
done. Oh, dude, imagine you, imagine you came in here and you've been killing it with 6,000%. All the way through.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at the Wonderland stuff and, you know, am I reading that right? That it's like 9.6% per 5 day lockup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's at 54,000 right now or 58,000. All right. Yeah. So speaking of Ponzi's, let's get Corey in.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude, I couldn't resist.
No, dude, we live in magical times.
We do live in magic internet money times. Corey Cottrell, I want you to meet my good buddy Joe Colley. Joe, my good buddy Corey Cottrell, and everybody listening on DeFi Lunch, which, you know, we usually get a few hundred here and there on the whole podcast and everything. So you're famous now, Corey.
Cool. I mean, I've been waiting my entire life for this moment.
Exactly. So I used to appear on some crazy shows that Corey would do in the mornings with politics. And he actually had a show where it was a Democrat versus a Republican. And he could only take it for so long.
Collaborative.
It was collaborative. Yeah, it was. It was actually a really cool show. I was bummed when it died.
Yeah,
it was good. Anyway,
it's like politics is so low ROI that it makes me want to barf.
Yeah, I'm just done with it myself.
You know how much money I made in politics? Fucking none.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only ROI, there's only a few folks in the world that get the ROI from politics, right? So
you just, even just in a metric, if the metric was a positive outcome, it's just right. There's no rubber meeting the road there.
No.
At the scale where even moderately intelligent people can affect change.
Which
is why crypto rules.
Yeah, because you can do whatever you want, which is what you're doing.
Yes.
You control your destiny.
Can confirm.
Yes. So Corey went from Corey's an awesome musician, by the way. So if you're down in Miami, I don't know if you have any gigs you're doing anytime in the next 2 years.
I haven't played a show in so long. The only place to get any new music that's been released is the NFT that I'm releasing this week.
Yeah, yeah. He's releasing all his music as NFTs. I think Pleaser DAO went in for $3 million, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. It's impressive. Get him on the gotcha machine.
For 20 years as a musician, and I'm gonna at some point, I honestly believe this is gonna happen. I'm gonna release an NFT that just makes it all pointless. Like, what was I doing that whole time? And then whatever I make, I'm just gonna wail back into Blue Deck anyway. So rock and roll.
Well, look, hey, at the end of the day, you enjoy the music, right? So
it's all about flow state. I'll do gigs forever, whether it's paid or not.
Yeah.
Well, but also you saw an opportunity. So you toiled for, you know, tens and 20 years to all of a sudden get this great equalizer right here and now that makes it all worthwhile. And I think that's what's cool with art and NFTs in general is these monetizing events that people are able to pull off, you know, are validating the entire career.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, hats off to you. I think that's super cool.
So I want to talk about Corey has gone through this transformation, dude. Like he went from, so I'm going to try to give the backstory on this thing and then you can actually give the real backstory on it. But here's what I remember. I remember Corey saying to me on his show, on this show he was doing where he would have this show with some friends and they would just talk politics and good feelings. And they created this thing where they created a Minecraft world. And every Sunday people would come in and basically come in and talk about what they were thankful for. Right? Wasn't religious, wasn't anything like that. The whole idea was, let's be positive, let's do some positive things and talk about positive things. And they built a wall up on it. Well, out of that, Corey transforms. How many months has it been now?
It's basically, I think, been about a year.
Okay. So a year later, Corey now runs not only did that little thing transform into something called Uplift World, which is a full-blown NFT-based metaverse on the blockchain, right? And has developers and a team and a partner and this mega monster corporation. He's now launched a yield farming operation. Is that a succinct enough backstory, Corey, to how we got here?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually probably the shortest, most accurate version that exists.
But what's it been like for you kind of I mean, this is a pretty major personal transformation. Does your does your family think you're nuts or?
No, you know, it's funny. So my wife is always I used to just say all the time, because I've been in crypto for a while, right? I did some crypto stuff back in 2016. And I've been, you know, before that I was learning how to trade Forex and actually called the bottom of the Bitcoin chart in 2015 and didn't buy it. Would have been a millionaire a lot sooner. Oh. Had I actually wailed in. And so I've been feeling that mistake for a long time, right? So got into crypto, did okay. And then over the winter, actually just started volunteering. I know this is where I can do this. But, you know, I'm a musician. My wife makes, you know, really good money. And my goal was always to like give her a month off because she's never experienced that, right?
Right.
She's never asked anything of me, knew I was a musician running forward. So I was like, well, I'm not like entirely done. Like, how can I take enough moonshots to get to the point where I could turn to her someday and say, like, you can go to her tomorrow if you want, right? And so that's been kind of just a personal organizing experience. She always knew, because she watches everything that I'm doing when I'm not playing music, that, you know, the things were escalating just in the background, right? So I'm learning, right? It's like slowly, 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 and then all at once, which is like, holy crap, is that true?
Talk about all in.
It's been nuts, right? And so what's interesting too is like, you know, I would always joke and sort of be self-deprecating about the just a guitar player thing. And she always, you know, kind of busts my balls for it. It's like trying to train me not to do that. Then I meet this M Blue guy who starts doing exactly the same thing, right? And in collaboration with him, he's the reason why the Uplift exists. He's the reason why I have all the contacts in the teams and you know, the things that are necessary to just have an insane idea about bringing, you know, pancake swap like incentivized LP to Wax, because no one fucking would. And now here we are.
So, yeah, I mean, look, I appreciate the credit you're giving to M Blue, but I also know that that you are driving this thing. And by driving, I'm not going to lie, dude.
I am fucking killing this.
Yes, you are. Dude, you're totally killing it.
I'm shocking myself. So, there's a couple things are going well. Holy shit.
Yeah, and you know, there's something I mean, I think this is a really valid point. I want to get to what you're doing now along with Uplift, but you know, we talk about the fact that crypto, DeFi, NFTs can transform people's lives.
Yeah.
Right? And what it takes is, yes, there's some luck. Yes, there's some connections and networking, but you do not have to be a Goldman Sachs financial guy or a Stanford MBA to actually be successful in crypto and in DeFi.
In fact, I've met some of them. They are like trying to operate with their legs tied together. Like
exactly.
It's uncomfortable trying to watch them work in this space, generally speaking, right? The few that I've seen, I'm sure there are people that are much smarter than me and come from that space, but understand that this is different. You know, it's hard for a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so I think like, I don't know what I don't know. And I think that's a huge advantage.
Totally. Right? I think that's absolutely an advantage. It's like, look, I don't know what the rules are supposed to be, so I'm just going to make them.
That's exactly it, right? Like, how do we bring value and like networked value to as many people as humanly possible? Like,
exactly. No, and I think that's perfect. So I think the message I want to get across to everybody that does watch this, and I've had a lot of we've been getting a lot of feedback, Joe, and you know, get the new camera, dude.
I mean, you guys are crushing it. Let's face facts. You guys are nailing this stuff.
We're having fun.
I started watching all the time because I knew I was going to come on, and I feel like an idiot for not watching everything you guys have done over the last 2 weeks.
We've been having a blast. And look, at the end of the day, it's purely selfish because we do this all day anyway, and it's a great way for us to make connections and get more alpha. So all of this is built on a blockchain, and that blockchain is called Wax. So 99% of the people listening probably have either a very slight passing knowledge of Wax or zero of it. So tell us a little bit about that.
So it was designed specifically as an EOS IO 4, right?
EOS. Blockchain, right? That raised like $4 billion, right?
Yeah. They definitely have served the community that spent all that money on them, for sure. That's going very well.
It's not.
There is some people.
It's going really well.
It's really, it's super, super good. No, but there's genuine people like Eve LaRose, as an aside, and Dan Larimer, who was actually one of the progenitors of EOS, the code, right? They're now separating out from Block One, which did that whole raise or whatever. And they're doing something called Eden OS, which I highly recommend everyone take a look at. It's like reinventing democracy. Brad, you're gonna freaking love this. Like, we should
Eden OS.
Yeah, like I'll get a couple of the guys that are running it to get on your show. You should talk to them about it. It's spectacular, like inspiring.
Awesome.
And they also raised an EOS fund to actually start doing an incubator, which is what Block One always said they would do, and then like kind of I guess forgot to because they were sitting on, I don't know, 600,000 Bitcoin or some fucking bullshit. It's a lot. Like, the amount of money they have is unbelievable, and they're just sitting on it.
I don't know what the hell they've done. I mean, look, they have
they're trying to become the banking portal for custodial, you know, Bitcoin trading. And so they're basically, it's like fine, do you, like, hope it works, right? And, you know, I haven't seen it.
It's pitiful. They've got this blockchain that's incredibly fast.
Well, and now it's forked off, right? Because Wax is forked off from EOS.
Right. It's like a sub-chain to EOS, right?
Right. They more side, right? Because, like, Wax is going to eat EOS's lunch. It's specifically designed on Wax to run NFTs and to run them very, very quickly, right? So we actually, just to see if we could, we sent out more than 1 million NFTs in a single day.
Nice. That's incredible. And the network did not completely shut down.
A couple times it was like, what the hell are you doing to my API? We're like, nothing.
and the per transaction fees were like $500?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We spent, we actually sold a small country to do that drop for free. What you have to do on Ethereum, right?
There are like no fees.
Millions of dollars. It'd be ridiculous. And we've actually made, I think we spent about, the actual cost to mint all those was about 10 grand in RAM. So you have to buy RAM as you sort of expand the memory that's being used in the blockchain. But we've made about $180,000 on secondary sales. Remember, we gave this away for free.
Right.
So we want to take alpha, and we just figured out how to create value on those.
I love that.
You on here at the bottom there, or actually the top, actually there's Blue Yosa. That's actually the Yoshi coin thing. I think it's actually really right near the top.
Yep.
Third from the bottom. It's right underneath that. So there's Blue Yosh.
Oh, Blue Yosh.
And then there's Blue Yosa, which is actually the Yoshi CN.
Got it.
So both Yoshi coin NFTs that we sent out, there was 1 million of them, right? Somebody created a way so you can send in those NFTs and it automatically tokenizes it. So it sends you the Yoshi CN fungible token. And then you put that on Blue Deck. We had nothing to do with that, right? So there's crazy, crazy shit going on.
Nice.
On this blockchain. Actually happened with Uplithium too, which is our in-game, internal kind of game score thing. Like it's not even really a cryptocurrency. And you can get it out as an NFT, like we call it crystallized Uplithium. You can send that out to the blockchain as a 1 million Uplithium NFT. And somebody just made that same swap contract, which is why you see Lithium as a currency on here. We didn't make Lithium, right? These super geniuses made this swap contract where you just send in the NFT. It automatically gives you out the Lithium and back, right? So you can actually that back into our system by sending that NFT back into our system and melting it, and then it becomes Uplithium usable in the game. It's like the whole, this whole thing, it's just too much to even.
Yeah, it hurts your brain because there's so many. I mean, look, that's the beauty of DeFi too, right? Is that this interconnectedness, this use of other people's smart contracts is phenomenal. Okay, so Wax, 5,000 transactions per second. I mean, bleeding edge fast. I've never seen anything like it. I've used a lot of blockchains. It's amazing. And so you guys have Uplift, you're selling plots of land in Minecraft that are actually NFTs, and people make money from that because every time somebody comes across their land, they make money. So then they're encouraged to build really cool shit. So people will visit it and come see their shit. All of that's going.
One note on that.
Yeah.
We've had a thing where you can actually put high definition pictures up. We have installers that for 400,000 Uplithium will come in and put pictures up. So galleries are starting to crop up all over the place.
Nice.
And a buddy of mine who messaged me first thing this morning and said, dude, I just turned down a $50,000 offer for one of my galleries.
Holy crap.
Yeah, shit's about to get real.
That's like, very, awesome. Very real. Well, so here's the thing. There are 7 million users on Wax.
Yeah.
Right? Now, active, I don't know. But it does.
Yeah, well, I would say, and I won't say that. There's a couple games that didn't encourage bots, but they didn't super duper discourage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would say that between 2 and 4 million of those are real.
So the NFT world is everything in this blockchain, right?
So far,
that's everything that's going on here.
Until 48 hours ago.
And it's a wasteland of DeFi except for a little swap here and there and, you know, whatever.
And I should mention katetoken.io. They were doing some passive DeFi stuff. They're actually the ones that created the tokenized NFT contract that does the token swap.
Right.
So they were building in this space. And so just like hats off to them because they were starting to get a lot of this stuff together. And I was just like, this is not fast enough. We need to drop a bomb on this shit. And so that's why we built this.
So it pays to be impatient and have apparently some resources. Yeah. So you guys decide we need yield farming.
Yep.
In Wax, right? We need to start putting all the pieces of DeFi together in Wax. And so you just build it. And what's happened since you launched 48 hours ago?
So we haven't done, we're going to have to do like a manual track of TVL just because we just prioritized actually getting the actual mechanics of this up before everything.
Right.
But I mean, it's gone pretty well. We jumped to number 5 on the Alcor money market, like order book trading. The swaps across all the pairs, because we launched with 22 pairs. So it's blue and like 22 of the best tokens on WAX.
Right.
Last night, I mean, Twitter blew up last night because the first rewards that we sent out, so our epochs are not like every block, right? It's every 24 hours.
Right.
So you couldn't harvest until 8 p.m. last night, and people lost their goddamn minds, Brad.
Their money.
Because like we had the token out there, and you have to get the token to get into these pairs, right? So
instantaneous
demand. And I mean, you know, I mean, as people are kind of worried about our tokenomics, understand that I'm going to have 1,000 tokens connected to this platform across 5 chains in less than 5 years, right?
Right.
And like, working with people like Brad and a couple others, like it might be a hell of a lot sooner than that, which terrifies the shit out of me. But in a good way, right? But here's the thing. You're going to be able to track within an order of magnitude what the market cap of the circulating supply of blue is based on the amount of tokens that we go and get, the amount of communities. Because every single person who wants to bring that over to stake on BlueDAC is going to need what? Blue.
Right.
And so we saw a pretty fun run up of demand for the people that I was screaming at, get some blue. Like, and MBlue and I actually put like a little bit of liquidity in the pool, and like 100 grand or 200 grand, whatever it was,
right,
worth of liquidity in the pool initially so that people could actually come and buy it. And we set the price at 0.1 WAX. And by the time the pool's rewarded, it was like 0.6, right? So like it was like 16 cents. And we were like, this is... what? Okay. It was fun. And people got their first rewards. Price obviously, you know, moved overnight, but like not as much as we thought it was going to. And the amount of liquidity now in the Blue Wax pair is a lot higher. Like
it's right.
A lot higher. So that's what people did with it, right? People are worried about, you know, if you're giving out this many tokens, like how, like you're, is it going to be like Aether on our planet? There was a company that they're awesome, but they started NFT staking from other communities. They're just giving their token out for free infinitely, right? And they didn't really put enough burn rate on the back end of that to manage it. And what people don't understand is like, we're giving all this blue out. People are doing exactly one thing with it, selling a bit of it into WAX or into any of these other 22 tokens to get back in.
Right.
Right. Which is how DeFi works. And people on WAX aren't really used to that.
Right.
But anybody who watched what happened with PancakeSwap or anything that you guys really do, like that's the game, right? And it's going to create some level of equilibrium down the road. But it's by the time it reaches equilibrium on these chains, I will have changed the whole game multiple times.
Well, I would recommend everybody listening come over to WAX, BlueDAC.io. They can get the WAX web wallet at WAX.io. Is it WAX.io?
Yeah.
WAX.io.
Sorry, guys.
Because I think you gave me about $350 worth of blue the other day. Was that about right?
I didn't count. I just sent you some because it's fun.
Yeah. So I matched that with some WAX I bought. And so I had about $700 in there. And yesterday at 8 p.m., there was like $273 worth of new blue. So I was, I was going to try to back into the numbers on my $700 earning $273 in
it's a lot. It's
24
a lot.
Hours. It's a lot, dude. Like,
I actually on the Void, I'll just get, here's some free alpha for all your fans. The Void, the Blue Void pair. I don't remember exactly how big my position was, but I came out with like $3,500 worth of blue from it this morning. I'm like, this pool is empty. Holy shit.
Holy crap. Blue Void?
I don't even think it was that big of a position. But that's the thing, right? People on WAX don't really understand what DeFi is. They're understanding it more in the last 24 hours.
I think you must have told a few people it's down to 0.12 AMI now.
So here's what you need to understand about the AMI. The AMI, because there's a Void is a really cheap token, so there's a lot of it, right? So you have to times the amount staked, if you have some staked, to the AMI, and that'll give you your blue a day. It's not like APY. Totally different.
So it's number of tokens times AMI equals blue to be earned.
Number of LP tokens that you have staked. Correct.
Oh, LP tokens. Okay. Correct. Okay, yeah. That gets interesting.
Did you read what AMI stands for?
I did the other day, and I don't remember it.
It's a
average intergalactic mining yield. I love it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, yeah, we need like a calculator. That's fantastic, man. And so people are like waking up and going, "Holy shit, this is more money than I earn in my day job."
That did you see that tweet?
Yeah. And it's like, you know.
And again, I told everyone to get in early. Like, this is going to balance out, right?
Right.
Now that everyone was noisy about it, thank you. There's going to be a lot more liquidity, like probably between 5 and 10 times more liquidity come into the entire space.
Right.
Which can be kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
And definitely good. Like, I'm every token project that isn't listed hit me up last night. And they're like, nice.
So how many? Okay. So in the course of this, we've discussed the fact that you are now actually looking to move BlueDAC to multiple exchanges.
100%.
You're going to start with moving the token over, right?
Yeah. And can I tell you, can I give you a little secret that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, okay, I love a secret.
We are going to do something a little crazy on the swap side. So we want to make it so that our early adopters have the opportunity to be among the first people on the chain. By themselves.
On the new chain. Like Polygon, BSC.
Right. So let's say just for the sake of argument, we were talking to a bunch of really, really awesome exchanges that produce LP on the Polygon blockchain. Just apropos of nothing, you know, we want to focus on that. I've actually had a bunch of requests, Brett, from a bunch of other people that brought Matic up. And let's do it, right?
Right. So
how this is going to work is we're going to have a little page on our site that's okay, anybody that wants to get blue over to Matic, deposited in this rocket. Make sure you attach your Polygon wallet so that we can link your Wax wallet and your Polygon wallet, right? And so we know how much you've deposited in there that's going to end up over there.
Right.
Once there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 million blue in this rocket, we'll send it over.
I like that.
And now everybody's account gets credited once. So it's like a big community event.
So you do one big massive thing, but you also get everybody excited about it happening.
Right.
I like it.
And then we incentivize the shit out of the Polygon Matic blue pair on the other side.
Right.
So everyone gets, you know, a massive alpha over there and everybody has an excuse to come over and get it.
That's beautiful. By the time that launches, I'm probably going to have like, you know, 12 million blue at the way this is going.
Fucking ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing is the math, right, dude.
I have 3,815 staked blue wax.
Yeah.
And at 0.80, that's 3,052 blue.
But here's the thing, like that, and you guys know this, right? Like these numbers are massive.
Of course.
The people making blue right now will make more than anyone else ever. Like that's a fact. Until we launch these other chains, right?
Right.
Then you're gonna have an opportunity to be among the first and be doing really, really well, right?
What's the evil master plan? World domination, own every blockchain on the planet.
So I definitely don't want to own every blockchain on the planet.
Okay. You're gonna own Wax.
That sounds like a big job that I don't want. Somebody actually from Kate, Christian from Kate, said, it looks like what you guys are planning on doing is being the cornerstone to provide liquidity and tools for every NFT or blockchain game in the space. And I was like, nailed it.
Nice.
Like, we're providing liquidity. That's fun, right? And we know for a fact this is going to work, which is why I've been telling everyone, like, I know BlueDAC is going to be good, but it might be holy shit good.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason for that is we're going to start doing things that no DeFi project has ever done, right? So one of the first things, and you guys know more about this than me, so tell me if I'm wrong about this. So we're going to set it up so that any game or project or any person with a membership, so you have to buy an NFT membership to access, you know, a lot of the stuff, or our blue rewarded stuff, you can make your own reward pool. So say you're a game, you have your own token, say stake this LP, maybe it's Wax because you want to trade Wax to your token.
Right. Or whatever, right?
And then you have your own reward pool. So you set the time that the pool's going to last. You fund the pool and you just let it rock and roll. Now, to set that up, you're going to need a membership, but nobody else who wants to whale into that is going to need a membership, right? So that's kind of our mass appeal kind of thing, right?
Cool.
So giving blockchain games and tokenized projects or whatever the ability to run their own DeFi if they want to. And it'll cost a little bit of blue to stake anything and a little bit of blue to unstake everything, right?
I like it.
It's not like the Binance Smart Chain, you know, I've been on there messing around and it's like, you know, a dollar a transaction at most. Right. That's kind of what we're going to target. Like, we want to make the cost inconsequential, basically.
Sure. Sure.
And so we think that's going to be really huge. So we like Nefty, which is a really, really amazing exchange on Wax that's coming up really fast, is going to be using that as a cornerstone of their whole business plan.
Nice.
Right. The second they heard about it, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So that part's going to be fun.
Well, let's make sure later today we talk about with the launch, including Doki Doki's Gachapon machines with the NFTs. Maybe we can do something clever to gamify it.
Yeah, no, that's fun. So, well, we're going to have the ability to do NFT rewards as well. So stake LP and have a percentage chance of winning an NFT based on the percent of the pool that you own.
That's beautiful.
Which is going to be kind of fun. And then the other thing on I definitely haven't seen anywhere else is that we're going to have token plus NFT staking. So you'll take like and what we're going to do anyway, we're going to say you guys, sorry, it's a little noisy in here. Sorry, guys. Hey, Gene, Carrie, I'm just on a podcast. I'm sorry, guys. I should have done this in the other room.
Are we being loud?
100%. It's totally deserved. I come to their house all the time and I just start yelling and they put up with me. I should be fired.
You're at somebody else's house?
No. This is actually my buddy, Brad.
Okay, sorry, Brad.
No worries. It sounds like.
We'll be quiet. Okay, thank you.
We're a prisoner in our own home.
Can you be quiet in your own damn house?
Dude, I should have done this in the office, but they were gone. Anyway.
Worst son-in-law ever.
I'm so fired.
Is your in-laws?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you're done.
Yeah, we're on the road. Honestly, I have the best in-laws I think of anyone. I lucked out so hard.
That's awesome.
These guys are great.
That's awesome. That's so hilarious.
One of the ways we're going to sink a crap ton of blue is go to 100 projects on Wax to start NFT projects and say, listen, like, I'm going to pick one of your NFTs out of your whole collection, one template, right? And I'm going to allow that to be staked on BlueDAC with a commensurate dollar amount of what the NFT costs when we start, because the cost on that NFT is going to skyrocket, right? So say this NFT costs $5 at base, the floor price is $5. We're going to say, okay, stake $5 worth of blue and this NFT. Now you have one spot in the pool and that'll be a reward pool, right?
Nice.
Now the cost on this NFT is probably going to go up a lot. This will stay at $5 for blue, but we can do that hundreds of times.
That's
so
beautiful.
Turning attention for those communities into value for those communities, right? Those NFT communities.
Yeah.
But then also having it just adding way more people that are in the blue ecosystem. And you know, create just a bigger network for the whole system.
I love it, dude. I'm excited. I'm just gonna hang on to the back of your shirt, and I'll catch the money as it flies out the back.
I think it's good. I like it.
All right, hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to jump in. Hey, nice to meet you, by the way. Pleasure.
Yeah, cheers.
And super cool everything that I'm hearing. One of the things that we always grapple with, as you know, is secondary market on the NFTs and. Did I see in here somewhere that this is capturing secondary? Yeah, okay.
All of it.
So that's huge.
We thought that was normal. Somebody told me on Ethereum, like, that's like really, really hard to do. I'm like, oh, you guppies. Like, we, in that secondary market, everything we made off those Yoshi coins, all of that was secondary market. We gave them away for free. Right. Yeah. So on Uplift, for example, we have a 9% like base royalty or whatever. Right. And that pays the server cost on it, like almost entirely, right? Mm-hmm. So it really helps out. One thing, Brad, I'll give you another little secret that I've only ever disclosed in – actually, I was in the Kate channel early this morning dropping secrets because they asked me to. We're actually, I think, going to take 50% of secondary market on our memberships and do buybacks on Blue Token for the rest of time. You're muted.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
We thought so.
Yeah. That's amazing. I got so many ideas going on right now.
Go on.
No. We'll get to them later.
Yeah, I got two more things I was actually just kind of curious about too.
Sure.
Of course, you know, the holy grail is always where can you go farm NFTs or stake NFTs and borrow against them to do other things with. You know, there was a play over, you know, you're probably familiar with UNIC or Unically or UNIC.ly. It's the fractionalized portfolios of NFTs. And you know, Doki's on there and, you know, some punks and Beeple and a few other big name ones. Have you got, around to like how these, in your future perspective, how do these get appraised and establishing value beyond just like an upshot appraisal of last sale on OpenSea. I think that's a big issue, and I'm curious as to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, on the NFTs that are sort of focused on artistic value, I am not the guy to talk to. at all, right? Like, and my favorite, like, stuff that I kind of sort of understand, you know, I'm friends with a few people that have Bored Apes, and they've just talked about the community and the sort of network and networking effect of that. I could kind of get that, right? But like, and the punks are the same way.
Yeah.
And so like, how do you put a value on that except for who, what, like how we value anything really in this space? What was the last sale?
Yeah.
Right. Because ultimately that's the arbiter of how we balance and ultimately perceive these things. Right. So like having some other way to do it, like I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah. I'm just curious because we were looking at how would you scale those portfolios of different pieces of works of art in ways that, you know, you have something a little bit beyond comparable value just because the comps aren't, you know, when stuff starts moving, the comps get out of whack really, really fast. And, you know, of course, I'm looking for the thing where I can go, you know, put that LR in somewhere that's worth $100,000 and borrow 50 on it and go stake stables or do something else at that point. You know, that's kind of where if we get that NFT space to where it's looked at, it's the same way we look at, say, tokens now, pretty interesting.
What if this is something we were playing with to basically create an actual liquidity pool for an NFT?
Yeah.
Right? So you give me 1,000 NFTs of XYZ value. We put a fungible token on the other side of it and just run an AMM on it. Right?
That's so interesting. Now,
we sort of have a market cap of that pair. And I don't know if this really answers your question, but it's something we were thinking about doing. I'd like to see that too, right? It's one thing, the other thing, I was talking to Brad about this, like the depth of stable coins and even lending markets on WAX like doesn't exist at all, right? And like, I didn't really want to get into the whole lending thing because like I don't have a clear enough sense of that, but like some project that wants to get into some crazy shit, you know, lending on WAX will do very well.
Yeah. Makes sense. Cause well, there's so much built up of collections there that people can leverage it. That's cool. There are some leveraging, there are some good lending platforms for NFTs. I think it's the volatility of the markets made it difficult for them to break out, but
yeah,
right.
I definitely
think like this next winter, I think there's going to be enough, you know, things are going to kind of reach a sort of stable or, price to kind of maybe give people, you know, enough to understand what their risk is.
Yeah. One of the things Joe and I are noodling around on a project idea I've had for a while called Kilroy. And one of the things that we've thought about is tying two things to the value of NFT. First of all, that the launch, that every NFT that is launched has a random number of the project's associated tokens attached to it, right? And so everyone that buys an NFT is going to get some percentage of the token supply that's available. And every NFT will be unique, but in order to unlock those tokens, they have to send a percentage of those tokens to five other people. But the reason I'm saying that is that within the NFT, we're going to use a new protocol that's out that'll actually enhance the NFT and allow you to release new functionality to the NFT so that people can go do things like scavenger hunt games for projects and brands and unlock more tokens, more value, rewards from projects, that kind of thing. I think then it gets really interesting. Like, so if somebody starts that, let's say that idea takes off, right? Mm-hmm. And they got their first set of tokens, they did a couple of the games, and then they're like, okay, I need cash now, right? Well, they could have two choices with that. They could just outright sell that NFT because people say, okay, well, future value is probably blah, 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 blah with all the things that can be unlocked in this. Or they say, I'm going to borrow against this value of this NFT. And so I want to make, you know, I'll borrow 10 grand on it because I know that there's 40,000 in the future coming from the functionality of it. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I think stuff like that is inevitable, right? Yeah. And if you actually somebody, a friend of mine, there's a lot of games now that are just requiring like tons and tons and tons of like press button, get stuff, or whatever. And you know, they're getting volunteers to do it for them and yada, yada. And they're like basically just taking 5%, right? And it's like, it's kind of monster, right? So like there's, I'm in games now where I don't have time to do any of that stuff. So I'm like, listen, can I just give you guys my NFTs? And they said, yeah, like we'll do it. We'll have our monkeys run it. And I think we'll take like 5 to 10% or whatever it is. I'm like, do it. That's awesome, right? Because it's like, it's free money for me. It's assets that are actually getting used.
Right.
It's kind of leveraging the Axie Infinity scholarship program. Like that's going to be 5 years from now. Like everyone will know somebody who has that as a job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's look, I think the whole nature of work, jobs, everything is going to transform. So, okay. So so what was the summary of what your grand vision is for where you want this to be? Your summary was liquidity, yield farming for and growth of Blue across multiple platforms, but being the provider of that that's tying it to NFTs and ownership, right? I mean, that's kind of like you want to permeate all of these chains with this functionality that starts there and can grow out from there, right?
And really democratizing the power for other projects to do this themselves.
That's what I was just about to say. Add on functionality to what you're building, right? If you create this ecosystem of people that are really into Blue DAC, they own the NFT, the membership NFT, right? Now you've got this platform of users on all chains that other projects can come plug into. So the guy that builds the NFT lending platform can plug in. The guy that builds the another kind of lending platform or the Alchemix-like platform or the OHM platform, all of those people can plug in and you become the ecosystem hub.
That's, being the central node for liquidity in networked communities is kind of the super secret plan that you discerned from the basics.
That's great.
Right? I mean, that and being like a super fat internet pipe between the intranets of all these other chains.
Yeah.
Like we need to combine them and it needs to be as fun. And like we're doing this as a game, right? And so we're going to gamify it with the rockets and stuff like that. But ultimately, the traffic between these chains is going to become seamless and frankly embedded so that users don't even know what's happening.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. I love this, man. I love what you have accomplished. Thanks, man. Loved kind of watching as you guys just go insane.
Like, yeah, I love that you knew me a year and a half ago.
It's so like, crazy because
it's
like
mental. It really is.
Fucking night and day. I mean, you're the same person.
I am.
But
now I'm going to run a $1 billion company.
But if somebody had asked me a year and a half ago, hey, is Corey going to like be a major force in NFTs and DeFi and like driving developers to release on launch day and blah, blah, blah. And I would have like, Corey? Corey's a nice guy. He's a, the fuck? It's amazing, dude. I'm excited for you. I'm happy. And I am going to make a lot of money because of you. So I'm even happier.
That's the game, right? Pun intended, but like that's what we're doing. And I think as long as we're constantly creating more value and you guys are doing that with your show every day, then we're extracting. It's just, it's a win-win-win. That's like kind of the whole idea, right?
Dude,
and the opportunity is intense.
Do me a favor and listen to yesterday's DeFi lunch episode on the podcast. Okay. It's the Mission DeFi podcast because we got into an entire discussion about UBI, creating perpetual money for people. And then when you sent me those tweets last night from those people waking up saying, I'm making more fucking money than I make in my job every day. I was like, holy shit, this is exactly what we were talking about yesterday. Like, that's the engine you're creating.
The uplift was the first iteration of how to make UBI, but embedded in a game so people didn't know what was happening.
It's beautiful. Well, so wait, now are we going to start like spreading uplift to the other chains and merging some Blue DAC and some NFT and some functionality between?
Yeah, we it's a little bit slower because it's a bit more involved to make it work.
Right.
But if I meet NFT devs on those other chains, it will be a lot easier.
Sure.
The plan I can right help now is, that'd be really cool. Yeah, the plan right now is to basically create collections on all the other chains. Get to the point where we have like a really strong 3 to 5,000 whitelist on that chain. And then we'll sell a 2 kilometer world, which is a little bit smaller, has about 1,600 pieces in it. Like, we need to make sure we're adding way, way more people into our ecosystem than we are land, right? And we'll do that slowly, but then we'll start interlinking it. And then here's what's really messed up. When you're on those other chains, if you have crystallized Upliftium NFTs on those other chains, you'll be able to embed them in our system, but withdraw them to any chain you want. Guess what just happened? Crunch. Uplift is now a bridge to all chains.
So that's what I was about to say, dude. Here's what I want. I want the Blue DAC interface in Minecraft so I can chat with people and fucking get to know them and check out their art and then go, boom, Blue DAC. Where's my yield? Cool. I need to buy this NFT from my brother over here. Boom, bought the NFT.
That's then a little tougher, but we'll work on it.
I want this. You got to go yell at the developers right now.
Yes, ma'am.
And then what I want at the end at the end of Wax World 1 is this big door. And as I approach it, these angel voices start singing. And I open that door, and I'm in Polygon Uplift. And in Polygon Uplift,
loading
up my DeFi yield farming and my Blue DAC yield farming, and I'm transferring my blue back and forth. You make
the Minecraft experience in a heads-up display that had the rest of it on the outside of it. And why the fuck have I never thought that? Neil's my biz dev guy. Neil, if you're watching that, could you please write that down?
That's like, that's fucking totally beautiful. Insane,
but like, what if it's not though?
Dude, it doesn't have to really be in it. It just can be, right. I'm hopping from one like to the next, but it feels like I am.
Yeah.
Dude, you make a metaverse. You make a metaverse with liquidity providing and yield farming and all of your partners coming in and NFT galleries.
That's the thing. Like, we have all the pieces right now, and the experience for people that are like our players or our citizens in this metaverse, that's the experience, right? Because all these tools are connected. Like, Liftium is right on there. Like, people that you know have that right now are like, oh, I guess it is really cool that I staked. And some people didn't. And they're like, I mean, there's still time. We've been alive for 36 hours. Get it done.
Yeah. Well, once the hype builds up, you build a bot that sits at the front of Minecraft entrance, right? You know, that little menu where you choose your worlds. Right. And it goes, I'm sorry, sir, I don't see you on the list. So you'll have to go to this secondary market to buy the membership NFT in order to
enter. You think that's another way it is now?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the bot.
If you don't have land, you can't get in.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I mean, we need to expand our servers a lot because we want to have a lot more people in. But
oh, there's some good shit here, man. Dude, if you beat the market on multiple chains to integrating DeFi functionality in a metaverse with NFTs, you'll bridge all the gaps. You'll create the world that, you know, this world that 75% of these people are 20 to 35 would much rather be there than on their fucking desktop browser all day. So,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. When people first started to understand what we were doing with the Uplift, they started calling it a four-dimensional browser. And I really
liked it. That's nice. I like that.
Visualization. Yeah, I think that everybody's, you know, we talk about this a lot. You know, everybody focuses on like layer ones as being galaxies, let's say, and things running on them. You know, we've been kind of just digging deep on what goes on in the middle, that it's really the node connectors between the different layer one galaxies where price is going to be set and where the oracles should sit, because you want the best price on any of the chains. So it's easier to go from a node in between another layer of, say, architecture versus, you know, chain to chain to chain to chain. So I think, you know, we have this problem a lot because, you know, we want to get a higher price on the Ethereum side of OpenSea than, say, on the Polygon side. And you have to bridge from Polygon to Ethereum, and that costs, you know, $100 an NFT, basically, plus other charges. So if you can, you know, I mean, just like with bridges for moving, you know, tokens across to other chains, if you can all of a sudden move NFTs that way, you know, near instantaneously, that puts you at the center of the ecosystem.
Our parent company, Legend.Art, is finishing work on that now.
Nice.
Legend.art.
Okay, here's
LGND.art.
And here's the idea for next year.
Go on.
Okay, so all of these pieces in DeFi are composable, right? Like, I can pull from Liquidity's lending protocol and connect it to the Alchemix protocol and pull from the Blue DAC yield farm. And I can put all these, if I'm a developer writing Solidity or C++, I can put all those pieces together. Right. And I can utilize almost any of the smart contracts that are available in DeFi to create new products. Right. Yep. So envision this is really ridiculous, but I just want to do this anyway because it's fun.
Go. The rabbit hole goes deep. We haven't even talked about meta pools yet.
So in Uplift, you're Steve. Is that the main character in Minecraft, Steve? Is that his name?
Is it?
I don't remember. Anyway, you're now. Steve. Where you are Steve now. Steve
from Uplift. Right? Okay. Yeah.
That's the skin you've got on, Steve. Right? You go to the Uplift composable blocks store and you take out the Alchemix block and you take out the liquidity block and you take out the blue deck yield farm block and you pull out the token launcher block and you connect them all together and you build a dApp.
So in I love Uplift. That.
And then you go out
we're
to
gonna
the
have
world
to bootstrap and say, here this is the ultimate plan. We got to bootstrap up off of Minecraft.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to actually happen in Minecraft.
Right. Well, no, that's like we've been looking at like taking the worlds and the voxels out of Minecraft, leaving that as a legacy world and then building something that is has, you know, higher graphic quality or whatever, you know, kind of on top of that as almost like a fork. So everybody who has landed, you know, this other thing. And then that's where that kind of thing becomes very, very possible. Just like, I just need to make about $100 million to $1 billion with Blue Dock first. And then we just
talk. I think at the pace you're going, you'll be able to raise that.
I'd rather just like build the company. I don't know. I have like, I have like some mixed feelings about it, right? Like I've seen people try to raise money in the space. There are companies that I would partner with because I want to partner with those companies because they have the tools that I don't and the abilities that I don't. And so that's a good, strong partnership, but it would take that, right? I'm not, because like, the money comes with, if it's not coming with experience that's going to dramatically enhance what we're doing, I'll just fucking make the money. Blue $40. Fucking who gives a shit? Let's rock and roll.
I agree with that philosophy. And I think that's awesome. But do not forget that every blockchain in the space has hundreds of millions of dollars to give to people to build cool shit.
I mean, if you're threatening me with a good time, I. by the way, I'm getting updates from Neil, who's watching right now. The wax Yoshi pair is going lunatic because
nice.
That pair was really, really empty. It's up 350% since the support.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the untold story of that is that, like, yeah, you all need blue to get into these pairs. Guess what else you need? 22 other tokens. You're welcome.
All right, dude, we're going to have to update this, like, I don't know, at least every other week. I want to, because you're moving so fast. I think this would be an absolute blast for people to keep tabs on what you're doing.
And yeah, 2 weeks we want to launch community tools, so that'll be good timing. That'll be a good target for
perfect.
Me to
perfect
to, and inspire our devs to do insane shit, which they already have done. Like they're incredible.
That's awesome. And by the way, everybody out there, C++ developers, that's the wax world. You don't have to know Solidity.
Corey. All EOS IO smart contracts. Apparently, it's really, really easy to work with them from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Our front end guy came in from outside blockchain and spent time with Nathan, who's honestly like one of the best EOS IO contract writers on the face of the earth. So we obviously lucked out there. He said it's like pretty easy to do. And
nice.
It will be a lot of work in that space because, you know, I think EOS IO forks are pretty easy to do.
Yeah,
and then you know it's just a matter of you know getting things plugged in. Even at Uplift, like we could use another one at Uplift right now.
Right, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, man. This is awesome. I am excited. I'm gonna just jump in with you on this so deep, man. I love it.
Nice to meet you.
Really good to meet you, man. I'm excited to come back already. It's fun.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Look forward to it.
And I'll bring my in-laws next time. It'll be a party.
Oh yeah, you should have them on. That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
You know what's funny too? This is where it gets really messed up. So my mother-in-law has been playing Alien Worlds in our planet. Some of the games I just gave her a bunch of NFTs last Christmas, right? And so like I keep having to send her RAM, which means that she's like increasing the number of NFTs that she has in these games.
Nice.
Fast, like disgustingly fast. Like it's kind of ridiculous. And so she's earning all these tokens. So now guess what she's gonna do, Brad?
What?
She's gonna grab some blue and those tokens and stake them and make bank. Frankly,
exactly.
Right? From just playing these games,
from playing the games,
Farmville, which is what she was playing before.
Are the games pretty good on Wax?
Define good.
Fun, interactive. Yes.
I think so. Yeah. And they're getting infinitely better. We actually interviewed Warsaken this morning, Warsaken.com. And they're just getting ready to launch. This is like one of the few games I think that was under development for a couple of years outside of blockchain. And then somebody from blockchain, Coleman actually, who we interviewed this morning, was degenning like I was in all these games. And like, I made 90 grand on Our Planet this year. Like,
Jesus
that's
Christ.
That's stupid. It's just like, I was like, I was just mining things. It was dumb. But, you know, it spiked for a while and it was, you know.
Nice.
Nice. So those kind of things, right? You bring those kinds of things in. And so they decided to do that. And they're like, I'm actually going to be buying a $500 pack for my father-in-law, who's been, you know, playing little strategy games and stuff on his phone all the time and like not making any money, which I think is absurd.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to dump the children into it.
Right. That's, yeah.
Go work, kids.
It's better than working.
Get a little sweatshop going.
What's the first game people should try on Wax if they want to play and earn?
Oh, my God. That's almost like
choosing Rudak. Which kid you like the best.
Huh?
Rudak.
It's almost like choosing which kid you like the best.
What was it again?
Bluedak.io.
Yeah, no, not Bluedak. That's not a game.
It is.
Okay. Besides Bluedak.
Oh, besides Bluedak. Okay. NFT game. Like, obviously. It's Minecraft, dude.
Yes.
And again, like, am I biased? 100%.
Okay, but what's like, what's something else besides Uplift that you would have them play?
God damn it. Okay, so this is where, like, I'm friends with all of them. So when I say one of them.
Oh, you're going to be in trouble. Hopefully none of them are watching.
Well, let me, there's a bunch. Like, I think what Our Planet is about to do, it's early for them. They're getting into a new phase, right? They went through a phase. They went up to the point where it was like 1,000 wax per million. I was making 5,000 wax a day, which was a bit crazy. Right. And it came back down because they were dabbing some stuff. So ourplanet.io, it's the letter R. And they're just getting to the point where, you know, you can get some land that produces some minerals, and those minerals can produce robot NFTs, and those robot NFTs can be enhanced. And like, they're getting the feel for the next pretty dramatic layer of complexity.
Nice.
And they've dealt with 6 months of FUD and people being super stupid. I knew that these guys were going to, you know, figure their stuff out just because I've seen the kinds of things that they've built before. And there's just a lot going on. There's a
lot. Nice. All right. We'll check it out. I'll get the son into Uplift and I'll get the daughter into Our Planet. And then
there you go. I mean, the best thing to do is get them in all of them.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Doing this game, you make Aether. Guess what is stakeable?
Of course.
Right?
We will definitely be staking, man. That's there awesome. You go.
And they actually have 4 different mineral tokens too, that if people add enough liquidity on Blue to those tokens before November 11th of next month, then I'm going to list them too.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You good?
Thank you so much for your time, man. Loved having you. Guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you, Corey.
Bye.
Cheers. Wow. A whole nother chain to figure out. You know, what I like is it's sort of, I mean, to me, it's sort of off the radar because, you know, but at the same time, it's one of those super early opportunities that could scale. And particularly with all those like non-crypto people over there on the NFT side, you know, this is definitely something to dig into.
Yeah, look, I mean, here, let's see, $700 invested in this, basically.
What is the URL on that? I can't see.
It's Bluedak, bluedac.io.
That explains it.
So the earning I get on my $700 after I restaked this morning is 3,052 blue times 0.08. Making $244 a day on a $700 investment.
Yep. Well, I'm just looking. Yeah, I don't have the chain up or anything, so it's like.
Yeah, go to wax.io and get the Wax web wallet.
Okay.
All right.
Will do.
All right, I got to run, buddy.
Me too.
Anything important? Good. I'll catch up with you later today.
No, we'll sync up later. I want to talk more about, you know, what we were talking about with a Kilroy type project. So
yeah,
we'll sync up. Anything else going on that you can think of right now?
Not a thing.
That's your man. Let me check one thing. Yeah, everything looks good. All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Have a good one
tomorrow. All right.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, babe.